Numbers chapter 13 this evening. Numbers chapter 13. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me to preach this evening. It's always a blessing to be here at Faith Baptist Church, our sending church. And thank you so much for all the prayers that come our way. And we're currently at 72% of our support. And we're grateful for what the Lord has done already. And we came here to see, find out the gender of our child, and I'm very grateful to announce, well, Pat Preacher already announced that we're having a boy, and it's always exciting to find out, and just please pray for me that God gives me the ability to change a diaper. That's all I need prayer for, and I've never changed a diaper in my life, and I don't want to until I have to, amen. So thank you, everyone, for your prayers while we're traveling and everything. We thoroughly appreciate your prayers for our ministry. Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 26. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 26, it says, "And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel, under the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." Then we see in verse 30, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But then it says in verse 31, But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." I want to bring forth a message entitled this evening, Only Two Men. Only Two Men. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this evening. Thank you for allowing us to be at your house. And Lord, I ask that you would help us never to take advantage, never to take it for granted to be at your house. And Lord, I pray that you would help go before me this evening. Fill me with your Holy Spirit's power. And Lord, I pray that if there's someone that needs to stand up for what is right and have a voice for what is right, I pray that you would help them to have a voice. And I pray that you would speak to the audience this evening in your name. Amen. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1 with me. If you want to turn with me, Deuteronomy chapter 1. We notice in these verses, Deuteronomy chapter 1, starting in verse 19, Moses is talking about what happened in Kadesh Barnea and what happened when he sent the 12 spies. Starting in verse 19, it says, "And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain of the Amorites. And as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, Ye are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God hath sent the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of the fathers hath said unto thee, Fear not, neither be discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, We will search, we will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the saying pleased me well, and I took the 12 men of you and of a tribe." We notice that in Numbers chapter 13 and Deuteronomy chapter 1, we all know the story about how God wanted the children of Israel to conquer the land that God possessed for them, and God wanted them to possess this land. We see in Deuteronomy that the children of Israel were fearful, even though God said to be not afraid and not be discouraged. We see that they go before Moses and ask that they would send 12 spies to spy out the land. And Moses agreed with them, and God agreed with them and believed that was a good idea. We see in Numbers 13, verse 2, that God tells Moses to take one ruler out of every tribe and send them to Canaan land and spy out the land. Moses asked the spies to gather intel about the following. He wanted these men to see whether the people who lived in the land were strong or weak, few or many. He wanted them to see whether the land was good or bad. He wanted them to see whether the cities were like camps or strongholds. He wanted the men to see whether the land was rich or poor. He wanted to see whether the land had many forests in the land. He also, Moses wanted some of the fruit of the land brought back to display and show everyone what was in that land. We see that the spies went out and they came back. And Moses, we see in Numbers chapter 13 that he asked them to bring back what they saw. Give an account what they saw. We see that 10 of the spies came forward. They said, yes, this land is a land filled with milk and honey, which meant that God had a perfect place for them to live in. And they also said, yes, there are grapes that are in this land. And they brought the grapes to Moses. And I can imagine Moses in his mind thinking, man, I can make thousands of jellies out of this. Maybe jelly beans. I don't know if they had those back then. But he was excited for what they brought back. And I can imagine Moses being excited at this moment. And then they brought the discouraging news. They said, nevertheless, strong men live in this land. The cities are walled in this land. Large armies are in this land. There are giants in this land. Then the remaining two men stepped forward, Caleb and Joshua, my favorite men in the Bible. They saw the exact same things that the 10 spies saw. But they remembered the 400 plus years that their generation before them were in bondage in Egypt. They remember all the times that their ancestors prayed and worshiped and asked God to send them a deliverer. They remember the time God sent them a deliverer. And Moses came and delivered them from Egypt's bondage. And Moses came and they got to the Red Sea, and they remembered that God split the Red Sea. God used Moses, but God split the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went across the Red Sea, the obstacle that was keeping them from going to the other side. And then they remember when God shut the Red Sea over the Egyptians. They also remembered God's promise. In Exodus 23:23, it says, "For mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hezites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off." They remembered that their God promised that they would He would kill all the inhabitants of that land. That is when they realized that, yes, they were grasshoppers before the giants, but the giants were grasshoppers before God. They believed that their God was more powerful than those powerful giants. They believed that the God who protected them in the past would protect them in the future. They believed that the God who promised to deliver them would deliver them in the future. Now the question tonight is, what is the Canaan land that God wants you to dwell in tonight? In other words, what is God's will for your life? It might be that God wants you to be a faithful church member, whether that is being a soul winner or whether that is being a Sunday school teacher or a nursery worker or sweeping the floor, whatever it is. Are you conquering the giant of apathy? Are you conquering the giants of pride? Are you conquering the giants of selfishness? You know, God wanted the children of Israel to possess the land. He wanted all of them to possess it. And that was His will for them to possess that land. They had fear. They saw the giants. They knew of the giants. They knew of the big cities in that land. And they had fear. They did not believe in God. Question is, are you conquering the giants and God's will in your life? It might be that God wants you to be a missionary, young people. It might be that God wants you to be a pastor or an evangelist. Are you conquering the giants of fear? Are you conquering the giants of the unknown? You know, I don't know what my future may hold, but I am not going to let that stop me from conquering God's will, fulfilling God's will, perfect will for my life. You know, Caleb and Joshua and the 10 other spies, they were specifically chosen to spy out the land. That was a specific thing for them to do. And they knew that God wanted them to give a good report. But only two came out and gave a good report. Only two believed that God would protect them. Tonight I want us to look at Caleb and Joshua's story. And I want you to realize that in order to conquer the land, in order to fulfill God's will for our life, we have to have a few things. First of all, we must have a voice. We must have a voice for what is right. The Bible says in verse 30 in Numbers chapter 13, it says, "And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it.'" We see the interpretation that I have of Caleb talking, interrupting the 10 spies that did not believe in God. He said, "Hey, you guys are a bunch of scaredy cats. Instead of worrying about the strength of the giants, let's have them worry about the strength of our God. Let's go out and conquer them because we have a God that is more powerful than them." Then it says in verse 31, "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" You know, no man believed them, but they continued. No man believed God, but they continued. These two men never followed the crowd, what the crowd was doing. They believed in their God. And if there's one thing that this, our generation and the people in this world need to know is, and this crowd needs to know is, we can't go with the crowd of this, we can't go with the crowd in this world. We have to trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy path. If we trust in ourselves, we're going to fail every time. Christians, don't follow the crowd, follow after God. We see that they were not afraid of what man would do. They believed in God. We see in Numbers 14, starting in verse 6, it says, "And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bred for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." But then it says in verse 10, "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." Even though these men had a voice at this time, there weren't people in the children of Israel cheering them on. There weren't cheerleaders cheering them on. "You can do this. You got this." They were all alone. And Christians, in this society, we are all alone to an extent. There's not, sometimes you're not going to have people cheering you on. You're going to have to stand up and have a voice for what is right. These men were about to be stoned. The people wanted to stone them with stones. What are you going to do? When people want to mock you on social media, or people want to mock you right in your face while you're working, what are you going to do? Have a voice for what is right. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." It goes on and gives a list, and it says in verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. For evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." But then it says in verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." You know, there's going to be blasphemers. In the last days, I believe in the time that we're in, we're in the last days, and I believe perilous times are going to come, and I believe there are blasphemers, and there are unthankful people, and there are unholy people, but God says, continue. Continue in what you're doing. Don't quit. The worst thing you could do in a situation like today is quit on God. Continue in the things that, which you have been taught. Continue in the things that God, that you have learned from a child in the Scriptures. Amen. We know in Proverbs 23, verse 23, it says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." We have the truth. The truth will set all the wicked free. The truth will set those that are unsaved free. The truth will help us. It will direct our path. But if we don't have the truth near and dear to us, what are we going to do with it? What's going to happen to us? We must have the truth near and dear to us. You know, the Bible says, if you want to turn with me, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. And Christians, we are in a spiritual warfare. It says in verse 14, "Standing therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness." Christians, if we want to succeed in this warfare, we need to have God's truth near and dear to us. We need to have it close. Whenever Satan comes and tries to tempt us, we always have it close, dear to us, and it will help us, it will protect us. And if we have a voice, we're going to have this close to us, and it's going to allow us to direct our paths, and it's going to help us when someone comes at us and blasphemes us, and when someone comes at us and mocks us for doing things that we know is right. We can look in the Scriptures and find out what we believe. And we can look in the Scriptures and hold dear to God's Word and buy the truth and sell it not. You know, there are many different doctrines that are in this world that come in and out. And we have a choice whether we want to continue in God's Word, continue in the truth, or are we going to sell the truth? Don't sell the truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. Christians, Caleb and Joshua, they had a voice. Because they were close to God, and because they loved God's Word, they had a voice. We as Christians must be like Caleb and Joshua and have a voice. The Bible says in Joshua 1:9, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Joshua knew that when he was going through hard times at the beginning, when everyone was against him, and Caleb knew that they could turn to God. And they could go to God, and they could hold on to God's hand, and He would guide them and direct them. Not only do we see that these men had a voice, not only do we see that they had a voice for what was right, but they had a vision. They had a vision. They caught on to God's vision. We see in Numbers chapter 14, verse 8, "If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us a land which floweth with milk and honey. You know, Canaan land, God knew, they knew that God wanted them to have that land. They had a vision for that land. And Christians, your Canaan land, what is God's will for your life? You must, in order to accomplish God's will, you need to have a vision for God's will. And Christians, the vision we can have is to go. You know, I can go to Panama. I can reach the lost there. But if you don't reach your Jerusalem, if you don't reach your people here, and if you don't see this church grow, missionaries back in a foreign country won't be able to continue if they don't have churches growing, if they don't have people back home winning their Jerusalem. You know, when I went to Panama for the first time, I had no vision for those people. I saw the landscape. I saw the beauty. But when God called me to those people, I saw the landscape, but I also saw lost and dying people dying and going to hell. And I saw that there were thousands of young people dying and going to hell, and I had a vision for them. And Christians, when you look at your Jerusalem, you must have a vision for those people. We notice in Matthew chapter 9, we see that Jesus... had compassion on the lost. We see that Jesus had compassion on the lost, and when He had compassion, He did something about it. He healed the lost. He healed the sick. And Christians, if you have compassion on the lost, you're going to do something about it and give them the gospel. Christians, we must have a vision. Sadly enough, this society, I know me included, we get our minds wrapped around the things of this world, like the 10 spies. They saw the giants. They saw the walled cities. They saw the nations that were in the land. They got their eyes on the wrong thing. Caleb and Joshua, they kept their eyes focused. And Christians, if we keep our eyes focused on the prize, if we keep our eyes focused on seeing people saved, we're going to see revival in this land. If we have a vision. Not only do we see that these men had a voice, these two men had a vision, but lastly, they had a victory. We see in Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, it says, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the things that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly follow the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance. Thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God, my God. Christians, let's make a point to be like Caleb and Joshua. And follow the Lord until the end. Follow His will until the end. You know, the 10 out of the 12 spies never were able to reap the benefits of the land. You know, Caleb and Joshua were able to reap the benefits because of their vision, because of their voice. For the land, for their vision for the land, because they follow God. These two men could say at the end of their life, like Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith." Christians, we are in a race. Like the Bible says in Hebrews 12:1-2, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Christians, if you are discouraged tonight, we're running this race, and if you're discouraged, you can look up. And see, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, He ran the race already, and we can look up. And yes, there may be obstacles. Yes, there may be problems in the way. Yes, you might, like a just man falleth down seven times, he rises up again. And Christians, you might fall, but you can get back up and trust and rely on the truth that will guide your path and that will guide your walk on this journey. Billy Sunday once said, stopping at third adds no more to the score than striking out. Doesn't matter how well you start if you fail to finish. Christians, let's determine to finish our race. Let's determine to hear God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's be like Caleb and Joshua and have a voice and have a vision so God can say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. The story reminds me of the hymn, and I'll be done here shortly, entitled, When We See Christ. It goes like this, oft times the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch His bride away. All tears forever over in God's eternal day. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. You know, Caleb and Joshua, they went through some hard times. But they had a voice. They had a vision. And when they crossed over into Canaan, they had victory. They had victory at the end of their life. Let's all have a vision. Let's all have a voice so one day we can have victory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You, Father, for this wonderful story. Thank You, Father, for this wonderful truth. Father, I pray that You would help us all to have a voice in this world. I pray that we would all have a voice like Caleb and Joshua and stand up for what is right. I pray that we would have a vision for our Jerusalem, Lord. I pray that we would have a vision so that at the end of our life we would have victory. Father, I pray that You would bless the invitation in Your name.
Look, this way, at the beginning of December, we had John Bishop, and I think I said to you that Sunday that he passed out in the pulpit, sometimes the man is the message. And I got something out of the message tonight, but I want to tell you what blessed me is the man. How old are you, Isaiah? 24. Preaching voice, vision, and victory. The people, we need the young men coming up, getting up, and preaching about voice, vision, and victory. We need that. We need that for the young people their age. We need that for the couples their age, for their peers. We need that for the younger ones, the teenagers who are younger than them, the kiddos. You know, some of us who've been around for 40 years now, ministry, we're not going to be here forever. And I can remember preaching vision. I can remember preaching victory, you know, and to see a young man coming now and preaching those same topics, those same themes, thrills my heart. You know, God's not done yet until He sends His Son to get us. And thank you, Isaiah, for following the Lord tonight, for the things that you said, but just the fact that you're 24 years of age, preaching. Voice, vision, victory. Let's finish. I love it. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Lord, bless the brief invitation if somebody wants to take a step tonight to the altar and just linger for a moment. And Lord, I pray that You'd give us all, no matter how old we are, how long we've been at it, or how short we've been at it, give us voice, vision, so that in the end, we have victory and finish our course, please. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You know, we don't have to wait for revival to have the Lord speak to our hearts. So now we play just a brief invitation. And if you step out and come tonight, don't linger. We're not going to be long. You come. Come right away while we wait. Voice, vision, and victory. God help us not to lose it. Thank you, dear Father, for what we heard tonight. And Lord, thank you for a 24-year-old to get up and preach it. And God, thank you for the fire, the vision burning in his heart. And Lord, I pray it'll just rub off on us. Give us a voice. Help us to use it. Give us vision, Lord. And help ultimately the victory of finishing well and hearing from you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen.